Welcome to Canada's Podcast.
Hello, this is Robert Smigel with Canada's Podcast, where we talk to the entrepreneurs who are making it happen here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Today, our guest is Matt D, an unconventional serial entrepreneur propelled by innovation with a self-taught mastery in sales, marketing, and design. He's left an indelible mark, notably shaping the credit card payment system in the early 2000s that we still use today, thriving in diverse ventures from early car sales from his parents' driveway to professional music. Currently, he's on the verge of launching a pioneering boat rental business alongside an adult card game concept fueled by renewed determination. Despite recent setbacks, he finds solace in nature and draws strength from his close-knit circle. Matt D embodies resilience, showcasing the transformative power of passion and perseverance in the entrepreneurial journey. His story is a beacon of inspiration, reminding us that setbacks are merely stepping stones on the path to success, and true innovation springs from the unwavering dedication and an unyielding spirit. Matt, welcome to Canada's Podcast.
Wow. I
appreciate you taking the time today to share your entrepreneurial journey with our listeners.
Thanks for having me. That's quite the intro. Everyone's going to be very disappointed. This is not a successful story. I mean,
you've got the scars to prove it.
That's true. I do.
Okay. Well, we've learned a little bit about you. Are you from Vancouver? Where are you from originally?
Yeah, originally born in Vancouver, and I went out to the Okanagan probably around 12 years ago, back and forth. Very difficult to make a living out there. That's where I ended up starting the video game company that we had talked about that I just had sold just last week, actually. So yeah, I'm back and forth, but now I am going back to the Okanagan and trying again.
Okay. Now, being an entrepreneur, have you always been an entrepreneur? Have you been an employee before? Or were you just at a young age, just said, you know what, I can't work for anyone, I just need to be an entrepreneur, and started that way? What's that look like?
Well, I had a very young daughter dropped off at my doorstep when I was 17. So I dropped out of school and went to work and busted my back lifting pallets for years. And I'm like, this isn't for me. So I decided to buy and sell cars out of my parents' driveway. Yeah. And I was doing pretty good on that until it wasn't good, you know? So I ended up going to a community college, and I was about 19. And I got a grant from one of the banks, Van City. Thanks, Van City. They gave me $10,000. To go and start my own business and do all the schooling and stuff. So I did that, and it was really successful at the time. And then the schooling was about like Microsoft Word and all this stuff. And the professor was like, you know what, you draw, you're sitting there drawing. I'm like, yeah, I can draw. He's like, why don't you come after class and I'll teach you how to work. I think it was called Corel Draw at the time. And Photoshop was a very like Photoshop 1 or 2. And I'll teach you how to do that. So I stayed after class, and he taught me how to do all this crazy stuff. And at the time, you had to use Corel Draw to do any sort of GIF animation or stuff like that. And Photoshop was just for photos. So that was really interesting. Now Photoshop, of course, we have Illustrator and all that stuff. And then he's like, how do you think about web design? And I'm like, what is web design? This is 1999, right? He's like, well, I'll teach you. Now you know how to do graphic design. Now you can do web design. And he taught me after class how to do web design before there was even a course for this stuff. And I became a web designer and did really, really successful work there. I was like 19, 20, did really well.
Okay. Now you mentioned Van City, and you've had a few ventures. As far as financing, did you need financing to start each and every one of these businesses? Or was there a particular business you started that you just kind of bootstrapped, for example?
Most likely the web design company that I had in the early 2000s, I didn't need anybody. And at that time, it was just me. And I was doing crazy contracts from the States that you would never even believe if I told you. It was nuts. We could charge whatever we wanted. I had this one guy from the USA that was sort of recruited me off the newspaper article that I was in about a different venture. It was stupid. It was fish tanks that I was making. I don't know what the heck I was thinking, but that ended up going that way. And yeah, we were getting contracts in the States for hotels and stuff. We were charging, just imagine, we had to sell them on to get a website. They're like, we don't want a website. What's this website? It's all fad. And we're like, no, no, your competitors are doing it. And we have this booking thing that I put together where you can book online. They're like, no, it's never going to work. But some of them did. And then more and more and more, geez, by the time 2002 hit, you know, just before the crash of, well, what was it, 2004 when it kind of crashed? I thought I was going to be rich for the rest of my life. I thought that was it. I got it figured out. You guys are idiots. And that's not the case at all what happened. 6 years of depression after that. But I had to keep trying to start new adventures, but they all just crashed because now I'm competing with these big web design companies that came out of nowhere with like 15 employees. And I don't have the money to pay 15 employees at the time. I sold all my BMWs at that point, you know, so it took so long to be able to get the next one that worked, which was the video game company in 2011. It was a really dark time between there.
Yeah. How do you manage failure? You've mentioned a few times that, you know, some of these things didn't do well and stuff. And how do you pick yourself up and go, okay, I've learned from this, I've done this, and it's not negative, but I just need to move on. And what's your kind of MO to start from scratch over again?
But man, if I didn't answer that, I probably wouldn't be had that dark time there for a while. There's something in me. I'll get a job for like a day. That motivates me. I'll just go dig ditches. Okay. I got a plumber friend. Yeah. Well, I'll just go dig a ditch for a day. And I'm like, whoa, this is my life. If I don't get back on that computer, start getting your notepad and start brainstorming something, because I can't do that. I'm miserable.
Okay. What, give me a piece of knowledge or information about your industry. It could be maybe select one of your industries that you've worked in that you could share that would benefit our listeners to the general public, like an industry you've been in that people may not know about.
Well, I mean, I will go back to the video game thing just because it's so fresh. Okay. It's knowing your demographic, your customers. It's so important to know exactly who's buying your product, what they're using it for. And then you can market to them. Facebook Marketplace has been, the secret to everything. If I made an ad right now for someone, a friend of mine in Surrey, just a targeted ad, one, and all they had was her Facebook page, let's say, I'm just using this as an example. And I looked at her favorites, her likes, what she does, her demographic or her area. I bet you with a budget of $5 a day, I will get her to see that ad. That's how targeted Facebook marketing is.
Okay. And so that's one thing you can do to start a business is really just have an idea and get Facebook ads going or do some kind of marketing to get it.
Just know who is buying your product and what they're using it for. There's a real tricky one that I did here because going back to the video games there, my demographic was 35 to 45 year old male in Canada. But what I did was I ran a campaign that targeted females from 30 to 35 and ran just that ad. And it did better than the males because it was for birthdays, gifts, anniversary, stuff like that, that the wives usually are younger. I'm not saying that's all the case, but their male is a younger girlfriend or wife or something. So that really worked well. It was totally mind screw. Kind of a whim. I went on a whim on that one. It worked.
Canada's podcast is your gateway to success in the world of entrepreneurship. Start listening today. Canada'spodcast.com. Subscribe now.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about British Columbia. And, you know, you've been there your whole life and you know what it's like to start a business there. I want you to give me some of the biggest benefits of being an entrepreneur in British Columbia, but I also want you to give us some of the challenges that you've had along the way. You've started a lot of companies. You've been through this. British Columbia, you know, is that a great place to start a business? If it is, great. If it's not, what are the challenges and how'd you overcome them?
Well, it really depends what kind of business. I mean, if you own a vape shop or a cannabis store, you're doing all right. If you've got an online business, I guess it doesn't really matter where you are in Canada, as long as you have access to the internet. And if you're shipping worldwide or Canada wide, it doesn't really matter. But if you're talking about the red tape that BC has, yeah, it's a challenge. I have the city sniffing around my shop a lot. I've had the fire department here 3 times, and everything's fine here. I'm still at the warehouse, actually. It's where I'm calling it. A little chilly in here, actually. Yeah, there's a lot of red tape. The city seems to really go after the small guys, medium guys, and then the large guys, you know, whoever they are. There's no Lamborghini parked out front, I'll tell you right now. You know, if there was, I bet you they wouldn't be sniffing around here as much. So yeah, there's a lot of red tape. The good things about it, I mean, you know, the weather when it's sunny like today, it's beautiful out there. Yeah, I don't know, you could be anywhere. I mean, I love Kelowna. The problem with Kelowna, I mean, I'm very lucky I got in a long time ago and I have a place where I don't have to pay launching fees for the boats that I'm doing that boat rental company this summer. But it's beautiful up there. It's just very, very challenging to get into housing. It's, you know, you think the housing's bad here. It's really bad there too. I would say like maybe 20% less, but at that margin it's almost even there. $2,200 for a 2-bedroom basement suite, if that's what you're looking for in Kelowna right now.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't really see any advantages. Like BC is beautiful. I mean, that's really the only advantage. It's just a lot of red tape. The CRA is always on your butt, but I guess wherever you are in Canada, the CRA is always going to be bugging you. They called me right before this phone call, so I'm kind of mad right now.
Okay, I want you to imagine that you're starting over. You've landing in Vancouver, British Columbia, and you're starting. What are some of the things that you would do to start a business fresh off the ground? Mm. And what would that look like if you know you don't want to work for someone, you want to start a business? What's your thinking? But walk me through that.
Well, first you got to have an idea, I suppose, right? So if the idea is good, you know, put a business plan together. How are you going to make money? Who's going to help you finance this? You know, if you don't have deep pockets, maybe go to a bank, get a loan. There's grants available too. If you're playing by all the rules, there's entrepreneurship programs. My son is currently involved with one right now. The apple don't fall far from the tree here. Shout out to Morphic Makeovers. My daughter has her own makeup business. My son is doing Lego and he's in this entrepreneurial program. I told him not to do it. I'm like, your life's going to be ahead. I told him straight up. I'm like, don't do it. Like, don't do it. But they don't listen to me and they're doing their thing. So good for them. So yeah, get a business plan together. Have a clear idea of where you are, where you want to be. I do things in phases. So phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four. And then ultimately say phase five for me is selling, just to get out. So to get there, I never got to phase five with my video game company. I got to only 3. That's why this is not a success story right now. I'm glad to be out of this whole shenanigans. But it never got to level 5 where I know the new owners will get it there, but I was not able to do that by myself. They have a whole team doing this crap now.
Right.
Marketing, super important. Funding, obviously. I mean, I'm not telling your listeners anything they probably don't know. I mean, there's no really tricks to this. You gotta go in, like, you know, you gotta put the hours in.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. How do you define success and how do you celebrate success? Like, because it's you're in a difficult, being an entrepreneur is difficult, can be fairly isolated. And how do you define it when you know you're kind of getting to that point of, okay, this is starting to happen now?
Well, that's such a really good question, because if you asked Matt back in 2002 what success was, it was me in my beach house with all the ladies, you know, and doing all the crazy things that a 20-year-old do with a business that just skyrocketed out of nowhere. I don't believe that right now. I believe staying on top of bills, paying my employees first, always. Rent is second, believe that one or not. Just staying in the black. If I can have a nice meal 2 times a week and my family's happy and I'm happy and my bills are paid and I have a reliable vehicle, you're winning, man. That's like a top 2% of an entrepreneur that can say that. I've got no credit cards anymore. I use a Visa debit. So if I don't have the money, I'm not buying parts. I'm not doing marketing. I'm not doing this. If I don't have the money, I can't do it. I don't borrow nothing anymore. As I got really screwed me up, that little area there between 2004 and 2010-ish, I borrowed money to try to put these ventures together that ended up failing. And then I ended up with a bunch of debt. So I don't believe in that anymore. Where were we going with this? Success. Yeah. I mean, if you're in the black by the end of the month, you're winning, man. Your car payments are paid. Your child support's paid. Your taxes are paid. And you got gas in your car and food in the fridge and the dogs are happy. Hey, man, that's success in my book right now. Yep.
Okay. How do you deal with fear and doubt when you're in the middle of, in the thick of things and running a business and you're having challenges? How do you overcome those challenges of fear and doubt?
How do I deal with it? Man, I've lost so much sleep doing this. I don't think I slept for 2 years one time. Like, not literally, but
okay.
I have a real hard time dealing with the stress because there's no one to fall back to. You know, I lay in bed and I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning, let's say, and all I can think about is how am I going to get this done? How am I going to get this done? How am I going to get this done? And I get up and I get a piece of paper and I write down all the things that I have to do. It becomes, because it's so overwhelming. That's what my problem is. I think we all kind of suffer from this. So it's very overwhelming when you have more than, like, say, 10 things to do in such a short amount of time. It just seems like, holy crap, this is not going to happen. And then you write it down one at a time, and you start crossing them off. And you're like, oh, okay, that's one less thing. You know, maybe it's not so bad. And then the next morning I wake up and I'm going, ah. And then I get up and I do one of the things, just one thing. And then it's 8 things. And then you just keep going like that until there's no more things in that. But of course the new problems are piling up, right? So you just gotta keep on talking. If procrastination will kill an entrepreneur, because there's nobody to talk to. You're the boss, you're the CEO, you're the CFO, you're everybody, you're the whole thing. And everyone calls you, they want this, they want that, they want this. And you've got to somehow organize that. Unless you have a secretary and a whole staff that just, you know, does your brain. But, you know, for the most part, we're just working, you know, just me and this guy up here, we're working together to try to get things done.
I had an entrepreneur once tell me on an interview that said, Mickey Mouse can never have a bad day because, you know, Mickey Mouse can't come to work and go, I don't want to work. I'm an entrepreneur. I got to keep going no matter what. You can't have a bad day.
That's true. So, I mean,
So, okay. If you weren't doing what you do now, what would you like to do for a profession? If you weren't being an entrepreneur starting businesses, what would you like to do?
I want to sell life insurance. I think that's a good gig.
Life insurance. Okay. What 2 words would you use to describe yourself? Why?
2 words? 2 words. Oh, I don't know, man. Bipolar?
Yeah.
Most likely.
Probably because you can, 1 minute you're on it, next minute you're, oh my God, what am I doing? I don't want to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking about getting some Adderall too. My associates, they're taking that stuff. Man, they do like a 12 hour day in 2 hours.
Oh, geez. It makes you focus, huh?
Yeah. So, but I think it would work the opposite to me because I kind of would chill guy most of, I don't know if it would do an opposite and just put me in the couch. I don't know. I don't like taking drugs. You know, I haven't taken any medication of anything, like even a Tylenol in probably 20 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I just don't like it. I don't need it.
So you don't turn it off at night. Like you will take your work to bed with you and be thinking about it and get up in the middle of the night and continue to work on it. Is it better to do it that because it's quiet at that time?
No, I would just like to sleep. That'd be great. You know?
Yeah.
That'd be great. I have no choice. It just keeps going. I have no choice.
Yeah.
I can sit there and I get this rush in my body and I have to get up. I have to turn a light on, and I got to get a piece of paper and write a bunch of crap down.
Join our thriving community of like-minded individuals who share a passion for success and innovation. Canadaspodcast.com. Subscribe now.
How about mentors? Have you ever had mentors along your journey that have advised you on your businesses or given you advice, anything like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, like my family has been really supportive since the beginning. They know that I'm miserable working a normal job, even though I did it. I went every day. I would take every other Thursday off. I felt that was a good work week for me. 5 on, 4 off. I don't care if the boss didn't like it. I needed a break. My family's been really supportive. So, you know, my dad's worked a really great job. for a very long time. I had a great childhood, and he's been supportive. I would say a role model of sorts, but as far as business goes, he doesn't really, not very good at that. He does give me advice. And I'm like, Dad, I've been doing this. I'm doing this since I've been in diapers. just let me do the business that I know. I listen to what you have to say, but let me do it. I got it. Role models. Those entrepreneur say there's these things that you go to, like dinners and like meetups and stuff like that. We have them up in Kelowna. They're every other Friday. I try to stay away from those because I know that they're like, that suit only comes out once every 2 weeks. The BMW outside, they can't make payments for that thing. I know that. It's just all bologna sandwiches. I show up in sweatpants and I'll hand out some cards and then I'll just get out of there. Mentors, I mean, what are we looking like? Bezos or Elon? Nah, dude, that's like the top 0.0001% of entrepreneurs. So no, I don't really have any, I guess. Maybe I should. My friends. My friends are entrepreneurs. They're doing well. I mean, they're in the black. So we all get together. We talk about crap. I don't know. Not a real big mentor. I should get one though. Thank you for asking. I'm writing that down.
There you go. Write that one down. Get a mentor. Even
Robert, you're good.
You get a mentor. It could be. You don't have to meet them. Like a mentor for me would be Tim Ferriss. You know, I listen to all his podcasts. John Lee Dumas would be one. These are guys that I consider mentor. I've never met them, never talked to them, probably never will, but just listening to them and being a consistent listener to them, I get everything that I need from, you know, because they're pretty open about their businesses and they talk about other entrepreneurs and stuff like that. So, but yeah, I mean, to have a mentor that would be local, you probably already got that with your friends who are already entrepreneurs.
Just a little circle, yeah. And I did pirate some Tony Robbins one time. Listen to him. He was oh man, I don't know if I can get through that guy. I don't know about that guy. I know he's doing good, but it's like those courses, you know, they're selling to be an entrepreneur by selling you to be an entrepreneur. I just can't get into that market. I see them all the time, Facebook marketing ads, these people, and they're selling these courses. And how I made $200,000 this year. It's like, yeah, selling this course to tell you how you made $200,000 this year. You're like, you don't have a product. Your product is you. I get it. You should sell yourself. I mean, that's about being a small to medium-sized business. You're not necessarily just selling your product. You're selling yourself. You have to be passionate about it. You have to let your customers know that you are more passionate about this product than they are, you know, and tell them a story about, you know, for instance, like the video game thing, going back to that again, when I was a kid, I played video games and I would tell them all the stories and they would relate, you know, like Contra and Strider and Sonic the Hedgehog, Mario Brothers, of course. And then all of a sudden we'd be in this conversation and then I'd be getting a credit card number, you know, in the next 10 minutes.
Yeah. Well, if there was no obstacles and finance was not an issue, what would be an industry or a business that you would say, I would like to start this? Like, this would be something would be my ideal company and why?
Like right now in this market, like in this today? Yeah. Artificial intelligence. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where you'd be starting a business in that area.
I have done a little bit with it. It's not free.
No.
Once you go down the rabbit hole and this stuff, there's a lot of companies that want to take a little bit of your pie. And by the end of the month, you're looking at a couple grand just to use these tools, if you call them. And not a lot of them are good. And who knows how long they're going to be around. It's a wild, wild west right now. Like if I was to do anything, I would be heavily invested in AI. Because that's in the next 5 years, it's going to blow your freaking mind. Like, you know, it's going to just be wild.
Yeah, I've seen robots and now that you can talk to the thing and it does pours your tea and cleans your dishes and it knows what to do before you even tell it.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you messed around with ChatGPT yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I play with that. Yeah.
It's pretty
fun. It's interesting because I've used it before and I submitted content on a strategy session, stuff like that. But people go, no, that's ChatGPT. And I said, yeah, so what? If that's what it is, that's what you're supposed to do. People really like it and they don't like it. You know what I mean? They detect it and they want you to. And I say, well, what do you want? No, just write it from your own. I go, but that's what ChatGPT does. You just type what you want, you be specific, and it spits it out, and there you go. And they said, yeah, but there's some consistent stuff that they can smell and detect if it's ChatGPT, and they'll tell you to do it again. So I'm back to organically doing it myself and then submitting.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, it's a great tool for sure. I mean, it's not supposed to be used all by itself. That's why you can use these other tools and platforms. So, and if you use ChatGPT on like an expert level, it can do a lot more than just say, write a kid's book, 300 words. I mean, once you dive deep into that, which I've been diving pretty deep into it, it's incredible what you can do. And then once you take that, whatever that story, let's say you want to do something, you take that text and you put it into another platform that rearranges the words around and humanizes it. And then from there, you put it into another program, AI program for grammar, and it will, you know, fix anything the other one did. And then you put it into another one that that doesn't detect that it was AI from the beginning. Nope, it's an anti-plagiarism tool. And then you have to go back to, because it bricks it up a little bit, then go back to Grammarly is the thing, and then have the grammar fixed. And then by the time it comes out of this jumble mumble, it's yours. And it feels like a human has typed this thesis.
It's incredible,
but it's very confusing. And every one of these apps and programs, they cost money. And I dove into it pretty deep, and I want to revisit that probably in the fall, because I'm going to be busy up with the boats all summer and getting a suntan.
Okay, good. I want you to imagine you're in a coffee shop and a young entrepreneur or someone who wants to be an entrepreneur approaches you and says, tell me about your journey. Give me some advice. What's it look like? What are the things to look out for and be an entrepreneur if you were to do that to or talk to someone? What kind of advice would you give them and be honest about it? What would that be?
Well, I mean, geez, it's a roller coaster, right? Up and down, up and down. Every idea that you have might not be the best. Maybe you get up in the middle of the night or you write down this idea and you can't quite make it work. I don't like to tell my ideas to anybody, and it's not because I think they're going to rip it off at all. I just think that in Canada, especially, I know this is going to sound really weird, but I think Canadians, and I love Canada. Don't get me wrong. I was a proud Canadian before the pandemic, but I'm still a proud Canadian. But anyway, we're getting off track. No politics. Mm-hmm. I think that in general, like in the United States, when people do well, it's almost like they celebrate that person and they're like, oh, you did this. You sold that stock. You did this. Let's go out for dinner. Oh man, did you hear about Brad? He did this awesome sale. Let's party and celebrate. And in Canada, if you start doing well, everyone around you just starts to pick you off. That's what I feel. They start to put you on the bus a little bit. And I've noticed that because I deal with a lot of people from the States, and they're very proud people would be, you know, doing something, and they really support the communities. And I feel in Canada is quite the opposite. You know, we see a nice BMW down there. Oh, it's, you know, bet your dad's buying that. You know, maybe the guy had a nice job and he bought the BMW.
Right.
You know, I don't know. So my advice, I got off track there a little bit. Advice, I mean, just keep going or quit. You know, not every idea is going to be not a banger. You know, so if you want to show it to your friends, they're probably going to pick it apart if it's a good idea or a bad idea. Just if you think it's a good idea, then go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
And you mentioned business plan. How extensive is a business plan for you, and what are people looking for in that, and how important is that?
Yeah, that's the most overlooked thing. Is a real strong business plan does not have to be 14 pages. It can be a paragraph. I get this product, I put it for sale here, and then I sell it and make money. I mean, really, it could be that simple. But I mean, obviously, it should be a little bit more information than that. But you have to have a clear plan on what you're doing and where you want to be. And a business plan, I would say a good business plan with the help of ChatGPT can be a half a page. And you can pitch that to investors and get your NDAs and, you know, non-disclosures and non-compete forms together. And you can pitch it to investors and, you know, see where it goes from there. You have a marketing plan, should be your other page. I always say this, how much money, and this is overlooked as well too, however much money you put into your project, you should put equally or more amount into marketing. That 100%. I've screwed that up so many times. I go to investors. I did an app one time for this game, another game, and I got the money raised through the app, and it cost, you know, $5,000 or whatever at the time. And then I went back for the marketing money, and they're like, oh, no. It's like, it's not going well on the, it's not selling on the market. Like, it's not selling in the Apple store. And I'm like, well, of course it's not selling on the Apple store. No one knows what it's like, but I had this marketing plan. They're like, no. We'll just let it die out. And that's what happened.
Okay. So you got to go in there with the plan, but back it up with a strong marketing plan and marketing dollars.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I would match it. Like if you're getting $5,000, then you tell the investor you want another $5,000 to market it. And the first year is the toughest, right? So you got to get the name out there, the brand out there. And again, branding is really important too. Colors, logos, t-shirts, hats, whatever, you know, more people that can see your colors. You know, you can just run Facebook ads that just has your logo on it. Doesn't have to do much more than that. As long as people, if it's a local store, just run your business card and just run it in Vancouver. Yep. You have a link to the website if you want, but as long as people are seeing your brand.
Okay, we're going to wrap things up. How can our listeners get hold of you? Is there anything you'd like to add before you leave us today? Any final words of advice?
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It's a little bit of a delay in my ear.
Yeah. Anything you'd like to add before we leave us? Words of advice?
Sure, yeah. Living and working together, that's what I've been doing for the last 12 years. And I've been through different warehouses and all over the place. It's good advice if you want to do that. Remember pre-pandemic, everyone was going to work. Remember that? And then everyone stayed at home. And I'm like, this is going to be a recipe for disaster because I've been doing this my whole life. So what I always do, I look for commercial buildings with a shower. And then I look at the zoning through the app on or the website. And then I can legally work and live in the same building. And I've been doing that my whole life almost. That drives you absolutely insane. It also gives you social problems because you're not out in the workplace. You're not on the bus. You're not driving to the gas station interacting with people. You are sitting at a desk. We're working in a shop, and then when you go home, it's right here, and you got to deal with this brain, and you're not dealing with, you know, if you work at an office, you're going for office dinners, and you're going. It's important. My advice is, if I was to do that again, if you have the income, would be to separate work and living. So rent a small office somewhere in a building where there's other entrepreneurs. They have this all over Vancouver. They're like shared spaces. Mm-hmm. If you can go there, get up, have a shower, have your breakfast, do your routine, get your coffee, take a bus or walk or drive, and then hang out there, do your work, and then come home to an apartment or whatever, and your life will be much, much better because you can separate.
Work at home.
I know. And you know what we saw during the pandemic is everyone going a little bonkers because I knew this was going to happen when everyone was going home. Staying at home and working. I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting because I know this game and you go insane.
Yeah. So network, get out there and circulate and just don't be at home dwelling on your business. Make it a part of because you can't do it alone, right? So you need other people to work with to make it happen.
I think so. Yeah. That's great. This has been really fun, man.
Okay. Matt D, thank you for coming on the show. I've learned a lot about you and I'm sure our listeners have as well.